You're so worthy of our praise. You're so worthy of our lives. I just want to speak to something just for a moment here as we're going into prayer. Something the Lord put on my heart yesterday. Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday morning, just woke up. Christy and I were just in the Word and started just praying into some things. And the Lord took us into this place of seeing disappointment as an opportunity and a testing of our hearts to see how we would respond. And I'm not even in a place of disappointment right now, but there are times in our life where disappointment comes. And these are amazing opportunities. There's times when storms come, and these are amazing opportunities. It's easy to glorify Jesus, to call him Lord and Savior, and to say that he's so good and faithful when all is well. It's another story when things begin to crumble and storms begin to shake our foundation, and it begins to reveal the position of our heart and where our focus truly is. It's not in the good times where the revelation comes of our heart's position. It's in those difficult times where there's a testing of our heart to see where we are and how we will respond. James talks about this, James 1. It says, count it all joy when you face the trials, because it's the testings that develop that perseverance. And I just felt like the Lord just wanted to just for us to press into a few things as we're just singing about this. There's so much I have here. I mean, I could speak for 2 hours right now. I just got a download. I'm just writing, and I won't speak for 2 hours, I promise. But I'll just touch on it. But Revelation 5, there's a disappointment as we were just singing this. I just saw it where John's in the throne room. And he's looking around. It says there's no one in heaven on earth or under the earth that could open the scroll or even look inside it. And I wept because there was no one found worthy to open the scroll or to look inside it. But then one of the elders comes and he says to John, he says, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed, and he is able to open the scroll and the seven seals. And I saw the Lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. There was a shift that was made from this disappointment, from this weeping, to eyes on Jesus and revealing the joy of, oh, there is someone, a Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when we shift our gaze to Jesus in the midst of disappointment, everything begins to change. I wrote this down. It was Bill Johnson was speaking into this as well, and it's just stirring our hearts as we're praying into it. I wrote this. It just said, God is constantly testing his people to see if the level and the weight of glory that he has for us can be handled by us without it leading to a place of self-promotion. And that doesn't come when everything's going well. It actually comes in the moments when things are, that's where the trials come, the struggles, the disappointments. And do we shift our gaze to ourselves? Because if we shift our gaze to ourselves in those times, we'll actually shift our gaze to ourselves in the good times. And that's the concern, is that pride can actually rise up. If we can trust God through disappointment, and we can maintain our confidence in his goodness in those times, then we'll be able to handle the breakthroughs, the increase for the glory of God. And I just want to speak and pray into a couple things here. Gosh, I got hit. Anyway, Ezekiel 37. This is talking about prophesying to the dry bones, and right at the end of it, of this kind of beautiful thing where Ezekiel is prophesying to these bones and they're coming alive. And it says this. It says, "Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone." And here it is. It's a self-focus. It's a looking at themselves, even after the prophecies happen, and they're saying, look, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. And we're cut off. It says this. This is what happens. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I am going to open your graves and I am going to bring you up from them. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And there you will be my people and will know that I am the Lord. When I open up your graves and I bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And you will settle down in your own lands. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Lord, I thank you there is a hope that is being restored in your church. And it doesn't come in the good times, but it actually comes in the difficulties when we begin to shift our gaze. I was seeing when the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and the storm began to happen, what happened was they took their eyes off of Jesus when he was right there and they focused on a storm. They knew Jesus was right there and yet they still focused on the storm. And they said, Lord, save us. And here's the thing, it's like even in our prayers, sometimes we're praying from a place of fear versus a position of faith, declaring the very words of the Lord in the midst of the storm versus crying out because of a fear of the situation. And when we cry out to the Lord, it's almost like we're still focused on the storm and not on Jesus. And this is what happened with the disciples. They weren't focused on Jesus. They were crying out to him, but their eyes were on the storm. And so he says, you of unbelief, not little faith, you of unbelief, your eyes are in the wrong place. Your focus and your gaze is in the wrong place. Why are you afraid? Why is there fear in your life? And so, Lord, I ask right now, just there's such a connection between hope and fear. And when fear comes in, hope is lost because we've lost our gaze. We've lost our gaze to set our faith on Jesus, and now our fear is on a situation. Either your faith is on Christ or your fear is on a situation. And the two don't go hand in hand. And so, Lord, I ask right now for faith to be restored, which requires that our eyes are on Jesus, which means that we hear his voice, we know his word, and situations do not deter us. The other place I saw this is just one more here is 2 Corinthians. And here's Paul. It says that he's suffering the hardships that go beyond anything that they could even endure, and they despair even of life itself. And he says, but this happened that we may not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There was a shift in understanding that it wasn't about them and it wasn't about their situation and it wasn't a self-focus about the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that they were facing. It was focused back on Jesus, the God who raises the dead. And in that place, there is a hope that is restored. Hope is restored as we step into faith. It releases the hope that he has for us. And it's vice versa. They go hand in hand, hope and faith. And they remain. these will, faith, hope, and love. Lord Jesus, I thank you right now that you are strengthening your church in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of the trials and the tribulations. Lord, that we would joy not in them because just that we have joys and tribulations, but because it's in those times that you strengthen us in you, that our eyes and our focus comes back to you and off of these situations. Teach us to set our eyes and our gaze upon you constantly. You are the author and the perfecter of our faith. You are the beginning and the end. There is no other like you. You're the one who gives life and you give it abundantly. You are truth. You are the way. There is no other way. Lord, I thank you that in the disappointments that we're facing some of us right now, some of us were and some of us will be, but there will be disappointments. It's how we respond to them when we shift our gaze upon Jesus, that we don't operate in a place of fear any longer. We operate from a position of faith. Lord, I thank you that this is so important for the church to gain. And in this, there's a greater authority that we're about to step into. In this, there is a greater hope. Not a greater hope. There is a hope that we latch onto. It's the hope of Jesus. It's the hope of our calling. It's the hope of the resurrection. It's the hope of our salvation. It's the hope of who we are in Christ. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are raising up a people, that there is the prophecy. Prophecy is Jesus, the spoken word of Jesus through us that awakens the body of Christ. Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, I thank you that it is your Word that is being spoken. It is you, Jesus, that we're setting our eyes upon, and there is a faith and a hope arising in your church. Lord, we say, do it. Let it begin even today, right now, in this place. Let this be like a birthing place of a greater hope of this resurrection of the body of Christ, even now into the greater things that you have. That as the storms begin to increase and the shakings begin to happen in greater measure, that it leads us into a greater place of faith, that our eyes are on you and never come off of you, that our hope is in you and in nothing else. There is no other hope. There is no other. Break off the fear, Lord, and replace it with your faith. That faith in you, that trust in you. With all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, that we put our gaze upon you. We press into the things of the Lord in this season. That we do not shrink back, but we press in. That you are well pleased with your bride in this season. In the name of Jesus. Let's just press in and just pray with a focus on Jesus tonight, giving him all thanks, glory, honor, and realizing that in that place of eyes on him, there's so much. There's breakthrough, there's greater authority, there's greater power, but it's in those that can handle it. It's in those that the gaze is upon him and not upon us. So, let's go for it.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. So, God, we thank you. We thank you that you're advising us to buy gold refined by fire. There's no other way, God. There's no other way refined by fire, that we may become rich, have white garments. God, I'm asking that you purify your bride. Purify your bride, God. I pray that you find your bride trustworthy, God, to carry, God, your word, to carry your miracles, signs, and wonders, that we would be with his dad. We were the only ones in the aisle. And I approached nice and slow, and I went up and asked if I could pray. And he said, well, it hasn't worked for 12 years, but go ahead. The dad, and my heart broke. My heart broke for this father with his son there. And I knelt down and I started praying, but I came away from there and my heart was, where is the power? Where's the power? Why has this father not seen, you know, where's the power in the church? Why has it this father? He allowed me to pray, but he's like, it hasn't worked for 12 years. I'm assuming his son is 12 and he hadn't had it from birth, you know? And you know, he said his wife is on the way bringing, you know, but my heart broke and I came away from there. God, where's the power in the church, God? God, would you restore the power in the church, God? Would you find us trustworthy? would you purify our hearts so we'd have hearts refined by fire, that we'd buy pure gold, God, and when you're done trying us, we come forth as pure gold. Would you try us, God? Would you purify our hearts to serve you in truth? Would you purify us, God, that we would come forth as pure gold? Remove those things that don't please you, God. Some of those things we don't even see. We don't even want to see some of those things, God, but would you do it? We're crying out to you tonight. We want you to bring those things to the surface, God. The fuller's soap. Bring those things to the surface that we can repent. Give us repentant hearts. Repentance is beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful, God. But God, would you restore the church with power, God, miracles, signs, and wonders, God, that we would be the answer. We are the answer, God. We are the answer to the lost and dying generation. Christ in us, the hope of glory, God. Would you restore, God? Would you show your power, God? Find us trustworthy, God. Purify us. Get us ready. Get us ready at the rock, God. At the camp, oh God, this camp, oh God, for the youth, oh God. Pour out your spirit, God. Cover all of them in the precious blood of Jesus, God. All of the helpers.
It's chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. It says, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." Jesus, we thank you for your victory. We celebrate your victory. We celebrate that you shamed them publicly, that you disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, and you have canceled the record of charges against us. Thank you for taking it away and nailing it to the cross. Lord, we thank you for your victory. We thank you that you've generously made it our victory. And so, Jesus, we step into victory, to rule, and to reign with you. And we declare that you have disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities and shamed them publicly because of your victory. And so, Jesus, we ask that that would be made manifest in Colorado. Lord, that you would continue to disarm the spiritual rulers and authorities, that you would continue to publicly shame them by your victory. Lord, we thank you that the cross is still declaring your victory. We thank you that 2,000 years later, you are still victorious, and you are still on your victorious parade. Jesus, we pray that you would be glorified as the victor, that you would be made high and lifted up because of your victory. Jesus, I thank you that you are giving us victory in our lives. Lord, I thank you that you have disarmed these spiritual rulers and authorities. So we declare that over the youth camp, over the summer youth camp, over those youth, that you have disarmed those spiritual powers and authorities. Lord, we thank you that over this church, you have disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Lord, we pray that over our families, that you have disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Lord, that you would release victory into our lives, victories into youth camp, victories into our church, victories into Colorado. Lord, I pray that you begin to turn situations around for your glory and for our good. Lord, I pray that you would be seen as victorious in Colorado. Lord, that you would be seen as the victor. We would celebrate your glorious power, that we would celebrate how you have conquered death and sin, that we would celebrate how you came off the cross and you rose again and conquered death. Lord, we thank you for being victorious in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm walking with several that are in the midst of the storm. They're in the midst of the fire now. I'll call them in. Mike had even woke up yesterday morning with him and Christy praying about disappointment. Some of those things. I've been really in the midst of Psalm 23. I just want to pray through Psalm 23. I add some of my own emphasis. I just feel like there's something here. For Lord, you are our shepherd. We shall not be in want. Lord, you make us lie down in green pastures. Let me rephrase that. God, you allow us to lie down in your green pastures. You lead us beside quiet waters. I thank you that your promises that you'd send to your comfort. You restore our soul. You guide us in paths of righteousness. For your name's sake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, I thank you that we walk through the valley. You didn't call us to camp out. You didn't call us to stop. You said walk through the valley. And Lord, I thank you that it's only the shadow of death. It's an impersonator of death. There is no power in death. Death, where is your sting? Whoa. How do you cast a shadow? It has to be below the light. How do you cast a shadow? It has to be below the light. That means the enemy is below the heaven. So what's bound in heaven will be bound on earth. What's loosed in heaven will be loosed on earth. I thank you, God, somewhere between the first and the second heaven is where death roams, Lord, where the enemy comes. He can't rise above it because there's only a shadow of his death in the valley. And the light always supersedes and is above that which is casting a shadow. God, we will fear no evil. For you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. God, I thank you. I thank you that you've invited us to the table. It's a dinner party taking place. And we're all invited. Those that have been taken and moved off the list, our enemy. You anoint our heads with oil and our cup overflows. Lord, I thank you. There's an anointing on our life, Lord. God, I just prophesy that over the body of Christ, over the bride. There's an anointing on your head, O bride. God, wherever the bride walks, Lord, whatever atmosphere they enter into, whatever environment they walk through, God, there's an oil spill wherever they go for the anointing on the head of the bride, Lord, surely will change the atmosphere and environment when they enter. For there stands the power and the authority of Christ in and through us, Lord. Surely goodness and love will follow us all the days of our lives, Lord. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I thank you for Psalm 23, Lord. I prophesied over the bride, Lord, right now. God, I just proclaim it right now for the bride. Even as I woke up Sunday morning, Lord, you said, you are not a victim. Speaking over the bride, you are not a victim. God, I break off the victim mindset, the paradigm of being a victim, Lord. Anything that falls into that camp, Lord, that's not our lot, that's not our portion, Lord. We are not the victim, Lord. The bride is not the victim, God. I thank you that the bride would be awakened right now in the name of Jesus. Let the power and the authority, Lord, that you've given us through Christ, through righteousness, God, through the blood of Jesus, Lord, would rule and reign, God, throughout the bride. For those that fell dormant, Lord, I even Therese, as you shared that story, Lord, I pray for him. You know, what's his name? I just pray over him, Lord. God, he lost hope. Literally, hope deferred makes your heart grow sick, Lord. He lost hope for 12 years. Well, here's the deal. Let hope be restored inside your son, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus. Wherever he's at right now, God, in a supernatural way, God, would you flow and course through the veins of his body, Lord. God, restoring hope, God, through him. And not only his son, but his family, Lord. For we are the head and not the tail, Lord. I thank you that, God, his bones are just dry, that's all. The hydration somehow has been removed from his bones. Lord, I thank you that he would arise right now in the name of Jesus. God, it just deserves a response when you're in the boat in the midst of the storm, taking on waves, Lord. Your ship or your boat are out ready to capsize and sink. How we respond to the storms of life are so crucial. I thank you, God, when we respond in the power and the authority, God, that you've given us, God, the righteousness and the rightfulness of power and authority in us and through us, Lord. That we can rest under the storm. For the very storms that we can rest under, Lord, are the very storms we have authority over, Lord. God, so I thank you, God, that our ships are not capsizing. They're not sinking, Lord. God, they are fully, God, even as the Titanic, I would love. Okay, maybe was a, anyway, I'm not going there. Dude, that is a whole nother preach. That's a whole nother. Whoa. Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We just thank you that even the storm stands still when Jesus commands them, Lord. I thank you, God, that even the storms listen to the voice of Jesus. And the promise of you, O Lord, through Jesus, is that we would do those things and even greater. So, God, I thank you and I command the storms, Lord. I command the storms right now. Oh, and stop. God, we just divide the storms, Lord. God, we divide and we subtract from them. And we multiply, God, the power, the authority, and the anointing of the bride right now.
Worship the Lord of the storm, the Lord over the storm. And we say your bride will be transformed. You are the Lord of the storm, your bride, God will be transformed. You are the Lord of the storm, your bride, God will be transformed. You are the Lord over the storm, your bride, God will be transformed. You are the Lord over the storm, your bride, God will be transformed. You are the Lord over the storm, your bride, God will be transformed. You are the Lord over the storm, your bride, God will be transformed. To the Lord of light, the Lord of light. Even darkness is as light to you, God. Even darkness is as light to you, God. Oh, we look to the Lord of the storm. Your prayer, God, will be transformed. You are the God of the storm.
Can hurt me up here. It's only a shadow. It's you come up higher to see from heaven's eyes. It's only a shadow. You come up higher to be with our beloved. You come up higher, 'cause it's only a shadow.
Colossians 1. This is Jesus. I love that. It's only a shadow. You know when you're a kid and like you see the shadow, it's like, oh. We get fearful. And it's like, oh, it was nothing. You know when you're in bed and I remember being a kid and like there's this shadow that looks like there's this monster or something. It's like in your closet. And then you turn the light on, you're like, oh, that was that stuffed animal or something. And, you know, it's like, but in the darkness, it looks like the shadow, and it's like fear creeps in until the light turns on, and you're like, oh, it was that. And I think it's just this, I see this the same way. Jesus is the light. And when we set our eyes back on Jesus, it's like the light turns on, and the shadows of the things that we saw in the darkness that we were so afraid of, we realized it was nothing compared to the light that was Jesus. And so I just want to pray this. I just see, it says he's the image of the invisible God. This is Jesus. This is the one we look to. This is the sun that rises. He's the light of the earth. And then we reflect his light as light to others. And it's like in the light, as we reflect the light of Jesus, as our eyes are on Jesus, if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're no longer light. We actually can cause problems. And we're trying to speak into situations, but we're not speaking life and light because our eyes aren't on Jesus. Lord, I thank you that when our eyes are on you, when our focus is on you, we reveal light to the earth. We're like the moon when the sun is shining on it, that the moon actually shines on the earth and reveals light to the earth, not because the moon is producing any light in of itself. It's reflecting the light of the sun. Lord, may we reflect the light of the sun. May our eyes be on you, Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and the things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in his Son, Jesus, and through him, through Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That last part is so powerful. We're just singing, he's the God of the storms. He's also the God of peace, which brought peace to the storm. He's the God of peace, and it's his blood. It says by making peace, he made peace through his blood shed on a cross to bring peace to us, to peace to the storms in this world, the ultimate peace, because without him, maybe we're in the middle of the storm. And here's the thing, so many are in the middle of the storm right now. Jesus is the only one who brings peace through his blood. And now it's our job to reflect Christ and reveal that peace to the world around us. Jesus, our eyes are on you. We are focused on you. We thank you that it's your light that shines. And Lord, through that, our light shines in these times. Awaken your church to set our eyes upon you, off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, off of our own stuff. We're not going to be self-focused. But Lord, when we behold you, everything changes. Our circumstances change. We see it in a different light. We don't see it in darkness anymore. We see it in light. We're like, oh, haha, Jesus, you've got it. That was nothing. It was a shadow. It wasn't what. How can we lose our hope and our faith and our trust in you over something like that? Lord, reveal those areas in our heart and in our life that where there's a shadow, where there's something that's fearful in our life, or we're focused inwardly instead of outwardly upon you. Jesus, change our perspective. Change our mindset. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.
Just as Therese was talking about this boy who'd had this struggle for 12 years, this scripture came to mind. Matthew 9:20. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And she said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment. So, Lord, I just pray for this boy again, Lord. It's been 12 years. His dad has lost hope. And, Lord, whether we ever hear about it or not, we just pray that this man's hope would be restored, that faith would be stirred again, and that even though it's been 12 years, Lord, that healing can come just as it did for this woman, Lord. I pray that this scripture would come across his path, that he would realize, gosh, it can even happen after 12 years. And then the other scripture that's just been on my heart the whole evening, and I'm listening to Mike talking about this theme, Luke 5:4-9. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So, Lord, I just pray we could go from striving to flowing, from trying to doing, from dryness to richness. Lord, that we would be willing to step out into the deep again, that we would be pressing into you again, so that when we hear your voice, Lord, we're willing to step out, and it might be the exact thing we had done before, but where before it was in striving and trying in our own efforts, Lord, when you say it, there is a rest and a power and a flowing. And now when we do it, there is you, Lord. There is your word and your strength. So thank you, Lord. We are willing to yield to your voice again. We are willing to step in again. Even when we feel like that, Master, we've been trying all night and nothing's happened. When we hear you say, do it again, we come in alignment with your word and we just rest in you doing it. Thank you, Jesus.
Passion for me root on the vine. Together in spring, our love ripe and divine. Like the Shulamite bride, I grow lovesick for you. In your absence, I find you're still tried and still true. No matter the cost, I will stay on this path. And should I get lost, by my side, you still stand. As we stand in the waiting, we desperately call for your presence is what can deliver us all from the sorrows and pains that we put ourselves through. So be sure to show up, God, we're waiting on you. My heart beats for the one that is dripping in burn. These emotions, they wildly try to deter me from he who has risen and conquered this day. Read his word to remind us that love is the way. Our feelings don't matter because we are dead. It is he who sings out every thought in our head. As you choose to be led by the Spirit this day and everyone after, for he is the way. So be led by your heart in all that you do. Control your emotions. Don't let them pursue, for they lead you to nothing but death and despair. With Jesus beside you, you'll reign as his heir. To the throne and his home, we are one. Devil's gone. Tally-ho, war is won. Light has shone. We can run to the light as we find on this glorious day and remember the promises that he has made and to keep. Our Father does surely intend. His word never wavers and truth does not bend. We decide what we're worth from day one and fall short of the holiness hidden inside of our heart. Until everyone's royalty stands on display, we will stay in this world full of heartless dismay. The Prince of Lies waits on your shoulder, you see. He tries to seduce you through things that may please, at least for the moment, until all is done. Then sin and regret are what's left after fun. It's the alcohol, porn, and the things of this world, the heroin, addicts, and sex, and the pills. Anything pulling away from our God is what Satan intends to pretend you should want. So please choose to rid all these thrones from your heart. The money, the nice homes, Rolexes, and cars. These things, they are idols, and God will refuse all who say that they knew him, but never really knew of his goodness, his mercies, his splendor, delight that comes when you stop hiding your face in the night. He will rescue you only when you say no to this world and stop defiling your lives with Satan's every sly move. Put down the bottle and pick up his book. Put down the screens and to his eyes you'll look and see all the glory he put inside you. Once you find that his way is the only one true, you messed up and you sinned when the demons came in through the portals you opened by just logging in. The music, the movies, the sex on display are all brought by demons that bring your dismay. So shut them all up and step out of this world. Declare them all gone with the name that's unfurled on the banners of heaven, so big and so bright. May Jesus bring his light and end this dark night. Father, thank you for bringing this rhyme, this rhythm, this worship, these brothers and sisters together in oneness and agreement at your glory, that we can agree that you are that peace and that calm in the storm, Father. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, and it is to you that we look forever and always, and we say these things in Jesus' mighty name.
Phrase that I wrote down here, if you want to just read this. Faith doesn't deny the problem's existence. It only denies it a place of influence. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It only denies it as a place of influence. This was something I just heard Bill Johnson say the other day. I was like, oh, I had to write it down. So good. Sometimes we try to deny the situation that's in front of us. And we don't have to deny it, but we realize that faith actually is stronger than the things that we see in front of us. I want to close with this verse here, and then maybe we just says, may the God, this is in Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, as you put your faith in him. And then it says this, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just explain that real quick. So in this place, we allow the hope of God, we allow the God of hope to fill us with all joy and peace by the Holy Spirit as we trust in him, as we put our eyes on him, on our faith in him. And then as our faith is in Jesus, what happens is now we begin to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a power that comes in, and there's a hope that is released as we set our eyes on him in that place of trust and faith. And so, Lord, I thank you for the hope that is being restored. That hope deferred makes the heart sick. Lord, we thank you for hearts being healed. Lord, we declare, even for the youth conference right now, just there are hearts that have been that do not know Jesus. There are youth that are going that don't know Christ, and then there are those that maybe know him, but just like they know of him, and they might have been to church for a while. There are those coming that are far from him right now, but yet they're willing to come. There's something that was drawing them to come to this youth conference, this youth retreat, this time to get this youth camp together up in the mountains. But we just say, encounter them tonight as they're in worship and in the word right now. Lord, I thank you that you're restoring hope and renewing hope in those youth's lives right now, this next generation. As Melissa was praying over this, my heart was just stirred. Yes, Lord, we want to see our youth arise and awaken to the things on your heart, Lord, and do it in us, do it in our hearts. Lord, we say, let hope be restored as we put our trust in you, as we truly set our eyes upon you, off of the things of this world. We thank you for a joy and a strength that comes from your Holy Spirit to step into that place of saying, God, we will trust you even when we can't see the result, even when all we see is a storm or a mountain ahead of us. Lord, we will trust you. We will put our hope in you. And Lord, I thank you for the hope that will arise. We say, we'll do it in this time. Let it overflow from us, that it's not just going to like fill up in us and that we just get the hope. Let it overflow to the world around us, Lord. Let us be the hope to the world around us that is dying right now, in Jesus' name. So we set our eyes upon you in the name of Jesus. We will set our eyes upon you, and you are our hope. There is no other hope. Let's just worship him as we close.
Yeah, just hearing this song as we, even before Mike started praying that verse.
Let hope roll like a river. 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 Let hope roll like a river, let hope roll like a river, God, let hope
roll like a river.
We pray, let hope roll like a river, let hope roll like a river, let hope roll like a river, let hope roll like a river. Got a big God who got small problems. Got a big God who got small problems. I got a big God who got small problems. I got a big God, yeah, who got small problems. So let hope roll like a river. Let hope roll like a river. Let hope roll like a river. We pray. I got a big God. I got small problems. I got a big God. I got small problems. Oh, so let hope roll like a river. Let hope roll like a river. Let hope roll like a river. We pray. Ooh, let hope roll like a river. Let hope roll like a river. Let hope roll like a river. We pray.
We just thank you. We say yes and amen to everything that was prayed here. Let your these words just go forth. We seal all these things in your name. Amen.